step forward.
Yeah.
Can I also squeeze up?
Yep, we're going to squeeze up here. We're down to six. We can fit on the stage now. Too short. I got to be able to see that. We haven't sung this song in, well, probably 2 years, 3 years. I don't know. It's been a while, but it's a good song entitled Blessed Old Book, and I pray that it's a blessing to you.
Can you see it, Ari?
Too short there. That's going to take some getting used to. Especially for y'all. All right. Praise the Lord. All right. Appreciate again Shane being here again. And I'm going to have him come up and just preach for us today. And remember when we preached three generations? And it was in Italy, wasn't it? We
preached.
Three generations.
We might have been in Italy.
We won't have Micah preach today, but we'll have Shane, the Middleist.
All right, thank you. All right. It's certainly good to be here today and this morning. And if you have your Bibles, open up to 2 Kings. No, Chronicles. I'll get it right here in a minute. Nope, 2 Kings. I was right. 2 Kings, chapter 22. Let me get my notes open. Half the time I'm lucky to know what state I'm in. And when I wake up in the morning, it's one of those deals. I wake up and you don't move because you're like, wait, where am I? It's all dark. Where's the light switch? Am I on a top bunk? Am I on a bottom bunk? Am I in a queen? Am I in a king? Am I in a, you know, you don't know where you're at half the time. And so, but it is good to be here this morning. I want to preach on, actually, I preached this message back at junior camp. And so, if I preach to you like you're juniors, don't be offended, all right? This is actually a lesson that we can learn. When I preached it, it was so good, and I needed it myself. And oftentimes I find when I see something and man, I just need it myself. And so I want to look at the life of Josiah, 2 Kings chapter number 22. And I want to preach on extreme, I don't know what to call this. I kind of reworked it and rethought it all out. But the extreme Christianity, if you will. We live in a day and age when people are caught up with the extreme things. They're extreme sports and extreme this and extreme that. And I was walking with my wife and I said, look, they got a hammock set up there. And it was kind of a crazy place and it was on a hillside. And when you got into it, there, you kind of crawled down into it. But when you were in it, you were like setting over, it seemed like you were really high because the other side, if you fell out, you'd be rolling quite a ways. And so as I said, look at that. And she said, oh, yeah, and this wasn't that, but she said, have you ever heard of extreme hammocking? I said, extreme hammocking? I never heard of such a thing. And so I looked it up, extreme hammocking. And sure enough, people put hammocks in some of the craziest places that I would not be able to nap, okay? An extreme hammocking for me would be getting in a hammock and taking a nap for like 40 minutes or maybe 2 hours. That would be extreme hammocking. I could handle that. But these people put them in crazy places, and they do that stuff. And then one of the other extreme sports I looked up or read about, because I was looking at some extreme things, and one was volcano surfing. And I thought, man, there's got to be something seriously wrong upstairs to even want to go volcano surfing. I mean, that just, yeah, I couldn't go with that. Another one I came up with was wingsuit flying. Now, this one actually appealed to me a little bit. I've never been parachuting, but they strap a parachute on your back, and you jump out of an airplane, and instead of free falling, you actually have webs between your arms down to your sides and even between your feet, and you can actually control and kind of fly. Now, I thought that would be really cool, and then when you get tired of that, you pull the chute and you just parachute down. It's a lot more controlled and accurate way of falling, and I thought that was kind of interesting. But I want to preach on extreme Christianity. Extreme Christianity. I feel like in a day and age of 2018, we have way too many moderate, lukewarm Christians in America and in our churches. In the fact that they don't want to stick out and they don't want to be different. They just want to kind of blend in and go with the flow of everything around them. And they're afraid to be extreme in Christianity. And boy, I read this and this was, I pray that this is a blessing to you. 2 Kings chapter 22, verse number 1. The Bible says, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adaiah of Boscath. Verse number 2, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshulam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord, saying, go up to Hilkiah, the high priest, that he may sum the silver which is brought unto the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the door have gathered of the people. Let's just stop right there. I would love to read the entire chapter and the entire following chapter, but for sake of time, we won't do that this morning. And let's pray before we start. Father, I pray that you'd use me. I pray, Father, that you'd speak through me. And God, I pray that you'd help me as I preach this morning. God, I pray that you would just help us to be extreme Christians, extreme people, Father, for your cause and for your name's sake. God, I pray that you would just bless and move and work, Father, as only you can. And I pray that you'd use me and speak through me, Father. And we'll be careful to give you the honor and glory for all that's said and done. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen. As we look at Josiah's life, first of all, we have to go back. And I want to go back and just give you where he came from. Who was Josiah? I, of course, just to kind of give you a little bit of my testimony, I grew up in a Christian home all my life, and I thank God for that. I cannot remember not knowing the Bible. I can't imagine not knowing where the New Testament was and where the Old Testament was, and I just have learned the Bible growing up my entire life, and I thank God for that. But Josiah did not have that testimony. He didn't have that privilege to grow up, if you will, in a Christian home. Look back with me in chapter number 21 and verse number 19. The Bible says, Ammon was 22 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Meshulameth, the daughter of Huaraz of Jotba, and he, watch this, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as his father Manasseh did. And he walked in all the way that his father walked in, and served the idols that his father served, and worshipped them. And he forsook the Lord God of his fathers, and walked not in the way of the Lord. And the servants of Ammon conspired against him, and slew the king in his own house, and the people of the land slew all them that had conspired against King Ammon, and the people of the land made Josiah his son king in his stead. Did you catch that? The father of Josiah was Ammon. He was a wicked king. He did not do good in the sight of the Lord. He walked evilly in the sight of the Lord. He worshipped false gods and idols. And this is the house, and this is the place that Josiah was born in. And he was raised up in this idol worship. And he was raised up in this wickedness. And he was taught, hey, this is what you're supposed to do. And then his father died. And at 8 years old, he was placed as king before the nation of Israel. You may have not have been brought up in church. Maybe you have poor influences around your life. Josiah was surrounded with poor influences. Josiah was surrounded with a poor upbringing. Josiah wasn't raised in church, wasn't given the Word of God when he was young. But I want you to notice a dynamic change that took place in his life. Look with me in 2 Kings 22 and verse number 10. We have the proclamation of the Word of God. 2 Kings 22:10. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, and Ahikam the son of Shaphan, and Achbor the son of Milkiah, and Shaphan the scribe of Asaiah, the servant of the king, saying, go ye inquire of the Lord for me, and for all the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according to all that is written, that which is written concerning us. Not only can we see the past of Josiah, and that he was not raised in this, but rather he was raised in a wicked environment, and he had a lot of bad influences in his life. But I want you to notice the proclamation of the Word of God. What happened is Josiah became the king of Israel. They put him in there, and when he became 18 years old, we don't know a whole lot from 8 to 18, but we know this. When he became 18, he said, listen, we got to send some guys down to the temple, because they were doing some construction or some work down there, and we got to make sure everything's paid and taken care of. And so as they went down there, these priests, they found, as we read in verse number 10, they found the book. What book did they find? They found the Word of God. As it was buried and set aside in the temple, they found the Word of God. Listen, Josiah didn't know the Word of God growing up. He didn't have an opportunity to read the Word of God growing up. Hey, he found it later in his life. And listen, the Word of God was proclaimed and it was read. And look at his reaction there in verse number 11. And it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the book of the law that he rent his clothes. You know what his reaction was? He was heartbroken. He was torn up. He was saddened. He was like, I never knew all this before. I didn't know this is what the Word of God said. I didn't know that this is what we're supposed to be doing. I didn't realize that we were going down the wrong path. I didn't realize that my life was completely wrong and an absolute disaster before God. But when he read the Word of God, oh listen, how his life changed. As I was thinking about that, the Bible says in Psalm 119:9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Listen, this book, as we sang, ought to impact your life. It ought to change your life. I read this book and every day it just speaks to me. I've read this book, I don't know how many times through. I've read it all the way through in English. I've read it all the way through in Spanish. I've read it all the way through, most of the way through in Italian. And when I open the book and I read the Word of God, I'm just telling you, it changes my life. And God speaks to me day after day after day. Well, don't you know the stories? Yes, I know the stories. But I tell you what, every time I open the Word of God, God just speaks to my heart. And He gives me something, and He changes my life. Don't ever get used to the Word of God. Don't ever get over the Word of God. Let it impact your life. Let it change your life. The Word of God had an impact in Josiah's life. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing sunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. That's interesting. It says that because in today's day and age, everyone says, follow your heart and do what your heart says to do. Hey, your heart will not lead you astray. Listen, my friend, the Bible tells us something completely different about the heart. It says it is deceitful and wicked above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But the Bible discerns the intents and thoughts even of the heart. Amen. To teach you the right ways and to teach you the paths you should take and to teach you the way that's correct in the Word of God and to teach you which ways you should go. We find the proclamation of the Word of God in Josiah's life. It changed his life. You need to spend time reading the Word of God. He recognized his sin. Oh, listen, when the Word of God speaks to our sin, you know what a lot of people do? Well, they justify it. They reason. Well, it's not that bad. Well, it's this or that. Well, it's, yeah, you know, that's, it's not really talking about that. They kind of reason it away and they justify it. Listen, Josiah was heartbroken about his sin. The Bible says he rent his clothes. That didn't mean he go out and he rented some clothes, okay? Rent is an old English word. It means he ripped his clothes. It was a Jewish expression of being upset and angry and concerned about the problem that was faced. And he was greatly saddened and grieved by what took place. And the fact that he read the Word of God and that it affected his life. And he realized, listen, my life is wicked. And the places and the things that I'm doing are wicked. And they're not what they ought to be. He was completely heartbroken by the sin and the direction of his life. We find that he repented and he got it right. The Bible says in 1 John, I love this verse 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. Thank God for that verse. I'm glad. Because you know what? We cannot live a perfect life. We strive to do right. We strive to live right. We strive to do right. But we fall and we sin. And I'm thankful that God says, hey, confess your faults to me and I will forgive your sin. I'm grateful for that. You don't have to go to some priest or some fallen wicked man. You can go straight to the throne of grace and confess your faults to God. And I thank God for that. We see that Josiah, he was greatly grieved by his sin and he recognized his sin and he repented of his sin. Not only do I want you to see the proclamation of the Word of God, and I want you to see the past that Josiah did not grow up in a Christian home and in a Christian life, but look at his public profession. In chapter number 23, look at what took place. 2 Kings chapter number 23 and verse 1. And the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord, and to keep His commandments, and His testimonies, and His statutes, and with all their heart, and all their soul, to perform the words of the covenant that were written in this book, and all the people stood to the covenant. You know, that's an awesome, I love that portion right there. Josiah made a public profession, saying, listen, I read the Word of God, and it changed my life. This is what God's Word has done for me. And I want you to have that same thing that it did for me. I want it to do for you what it's done for me. And he publicly proclaimed, I mean, he was the king, so he gathered everybody together. He gathered all the men of Judah. He gathered all the men of Jerusalem. Both, the Bible says, both great, the important men, the men that were influential, and he gathered the small men, even the servants and the people that seemingly were not so important. He gathered every one of them together. And he said, listen, God has changed my life. As I was thinking about those verses, I thought, what a public profession. Oh, listen, when you get saved and when you get born again, when God has changed your life, oh, how you ought to make a public profession. And of course, we know that in the New Testament as a baptismal. Listen, a baptism is not for salvation. It's simply to show that, hey, I am making a public profession to follow God with my life. And I am confessing that Jesus Christ is my Lord, and I am dead and buried in His likeness, and raised in newness of life to follow after God. Amen. That's a great picture of His public profession. But as I was thinking about this passage and how He proclaimed and publicly professed what God did in His life, I thought, listen, oh, how we need to do that. One of the things I enjoy about Sunday school is just the opportunity to praise the Lord. Listen, we ought to be comfortable in church. We ought to be comfortable one with another to say, man, I got to tell you what God did in my life this week. Man, I thank God. I was worried about this and I was concerned about this. But man, I started praying and I was reading my Bible and God showed me this verse and encouraged my heart when I didn't know what was going to take place. We ought to publicly profess God even amongst ourselves. And then, you know what it is? It's an encouragement. When I hear somebody say, look what God did for me, I'm like, oh, that's a blessing. I'm encouraged. I know that, hey, God's alive. He's not dead. I know that God's working in your life. It's an encouragement to me because maybe I'm discouraged and maybe I'm down and maybe I have a difficulty. And I'm saying, man, I wonder how this is going to take place. And it does my heart good to hear God working in other Christians' lives. We ought to publicly profess what God's done for us. Listen, Josiah publicly professed what God did for him. Verse number 3, we already read it, and I have to hurry, but he made a promise. Look at what it says there. And the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep His commandments and His testimonies and His statutes. Watch this. Underline this if you will, if you want to in your Bible. With all their heart and all their soul to perform the words of this covenant. This was not a half-hearted promise. This was not something flippant that Josiah said, "Man, that sounds good. I think I'll do that." No, he made a public profession and a promise to follow and perform the words of God with all his heart and with all his soul. What a tremendous verse. We need people that are willing to step out and say, "God, I'll walk with you. I'll follow you. I will do what you want me to do. I will follow you, not with part of my heart, not with just when it's convenient and when it sounds good and when all the people around me are doing that, that's what I'm going to do." No, it doesn't matter if people are not doing what's right. It doesn't matter what the people around me do. I am going to follow God. Josiah made a promise. He said, "I will follow God with all my heart, with all my soul." And he did it. Chapter 23. I want you to notice, we're going to look at this and it's going to take a little bit, but I will kind of hurry us through this. We can see his past. We can see the proclamation of the Word of God. We can see the public profession that he made. We can see the promise that he made. I want you to notice as well the purging that took place in his life. This is where we talk about extreme Christianity. Chapter number 23 is lengthy, but it covers an extreme amount of purging that he did in his life. Look with me at verse number 4. "And the king commanded Hilkiah, the high priest, and the priest of the second order, and the keepers of the door, to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal and for the grove, and for all the hosts of heaven." Look at what he did. "And he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron, and carried the ashes of them unto Bethel." Verse number 5. "And he put down the idolatrous priests whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah and in the places round about Jerusalem, and them also that burned incense unto Baal, to the sun and to the moon and to the planet and to all the hosts of heaven." You know what he started doing? He went into the temple of God. He gathered all these idols. He gathered all this wickedness that was taking place in his kingdom, and he took it out to a field and he burned it. He got rid of the sin and the wickedness. The priests that were set up, the Bible says they were made up of the lower, of the base sort of the people. If you go all the way back, we're not going to go there for time's sake, but if you were to go back to 1 Kings chapter number 12 and 13, it's where Jeroboam is taking over the kingdom, and it's been divided when the one king, Rehoboam, decided not to do what was wise. He followed after the young people's advice and not the old wise men, and the kingdom was completely divided. And Jeroboam takes over the kingdom on the other side. And he decides, "Hey, I can't have my people going down to Jerusalem because they'll be reunited with Rehoboam. And I don't want that." So he sets up a complete new religion in Israel. It was wickedness. He raises up, the Bible says, a new religion in Dan and Bethel, so that the people can travel either to Dan or to Bethel to worship this false religion. And the Bible says he makes priests out of the base of the people. He didn't use the Levites. He didn't use God's chosen people. He didn't follow God's law. He started something completely different and completely new. And these are the people, and these are the things that Josiah is getting rid of. He said, "Listen, they can't be a priest if they're not a Levite. They can't do these things if they're not following God's law." And he fires all the priests, and he gets rid of them out of the temple. He gathers all the idols out of the temple, and he burns them in a field. Look at verse number 6. "And he brought out the grove from the house of the Lord without Jerusalem unto the brook Kidron, and he burned it at the brook Kidron. And look at this. And stamped it small to powder, and cast the powder thereof upon the graves of the children of the people." He gathered this stuff out of the temple. He took it out. And you say, well, he could have sold it. He didn't want anything to do with that wickedness. He wanted it just completely destroyed and eliminated out of his kingdom. He burned it with fire. And after he burned it with fire, you know what he did? The Bible says he stamped it out. He didn't even want it. He didn't want any large part of this. I mean, he ground it completely down so there was nothing but dust left. Then he gathered that up and he took it to the cemetery and said, you know what? You wanted these gods? You can have them. Threw them all at the grave. He was cleaning up the kingdom. Look at what he did there in verse number 7. And he break down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, where the woman wove hangings for the grove. You know what? He got rid of all perverseness out of his kingdom. It's amazing to me in the Bible. Listen, where God abounds, there's perversity is erased. And where God does not abound, perversity rises up. It's a natural inclination for mankind to go towards perverse and wickedness throughout the land. We find that God's man here, Josiah, deleted and eliminated the perversity there in the nation of Israel. Look at verse number 8. And he brought out the priests of all the cities of Judah and defiled the high places where the priests had burned incense. Look at verse number 10. And he defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of the children of Hinnom, that no man may make his son, his sons, or his daughter to pass through the fire of Molech. Verse number 11. And he took away the horses that the kings of Judah had given to the son at the entering in of the house of the Lord by the chamber of Nathan-Melech, the chamberlain, which was in the suburbs, and burned the chariots of the sun with fire. Verse number 12, about halfway, well, most of the way down, it says, and the Lord did the king beat down and break them down from thence and cast the dust of them into the brook Kidron. Look at verse number 14. And he brake in pieces the images and cut down the groves and filled their places with the bones of men. Look at verse number 15. Moreover, the altar that was at Bethel and the high place which Jeroboam the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, had made, both that altar and the high place, he brake down and burned the high place and stamped it small to powder and burned the grove. And as Josiah turned himself, he spied the sepulchres that were in the mountain sent and took the bones out of the sepulchres and burned them upon the altar and polluted it according to the word of the Lord which the man of God proclaimed, who proclaimed these words. You know what Josiah did? Any ounce, any sliver, any tidbit of wickedness that was in his kingdom, he absolutely destroyed it and got rid of it. He was not playing around with sin. He was not playing around or flirting with wickedness. He said, I want it out of my kingdom. He burned it. He broke it down. He slew. The Bible says, if you go down and read it, he slew verse number 20. Look at the end of verse number 19. And did to them according to all the acts that he had done in Bethel. And verse number 20. And he slew all the priests of the high places that were upon the altars and burned men's bones upon them and returned to Jerusalem. He was serious about sin. And he got rid of the wickedness out of the land. He purged. Everything in his kingdom was gone. I mean, he didn't want any wickedness. He wanted nothing to do with it. He wasn't playing around with it. He didn't put it in a storage set and say, well, we'll save that for another day, for a rainy day. He didn't say, well, we'll just, it'll be okay. We'll just set them aside, or maybe we could sell them. No, he absolutely destroyed and annihilated every bit of sin in his kingdom. He said, I don't want it. I'm done with it. And he purged his kingdom completely. The Bible says in Colossians 3:5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. We have a lot in our life that we need to take care of. We need extreme Christian. We need extreme disciples that are willing to say, you know what? I don't want it in my life. I want to eliminate it. I don't know what your path is. I don't know what your past is. I don't know, maybe you weren't raised in a Christian home. Josiah wasn't. But you know what? The Word of God taught him. And he said, I'm going to follow that. And I'm going to purge my life of this wickedness. And I don't want this kind of stuff in my life. And I want to follow God. Look with me one last thing. Verse number 24, and I'll be done. Moreover, the workers with familiar spirits and the wizards and the images and the idols and all the abomination that were spied in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem, did Josiah put away that he might, look at this, perform the words of the law, which were written in the book of Hilkiah the priest, found in the house of the Lord. He followed God. He was serious about following God. Look at verse number 25. And like unto him was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might according to the law of Moses. Neither after him arose there any like him. God blessed Josiah greatly. You'll have to read down through there and find it. I know there's a verse that describes the blessings of God on Josiah's life. What I'm saying is, Josiah took the Word of God seriously. And he took the sin seriously. And he purged it out of his life. And he said, I don't want that. I want to follow God. And I want a kingdom that's going to honor God. What an example for us. What a tremendous example in our heart and in our life. He read the Word of God. He repented. He changed completely. The Word of God changed his life. He said, I don't want this wickedness. I want to follow God. Made a public profession. Promised. Then he purged. He got rid of all that stuff out of his life. And he performed the Word of God. What a tremendous example in the Word of God for us. The life of Josiah. Maybe you're here today and you've never been born again. Let me tell you something. You cannot clean your life without Christ. Well, you might be able to change it a little bit. You might be able to do a little bit of good. But I'm telling you this. You cannot clean up your life like Jesus Christ can. He's the only one that can change your life. He's the only one that can make you 100% clean. Is Jesus. There is no other way. With every head bowed and every eye closed as we stand to our feet. Father, we thank you for your word. I thank you for this example in the life of Josiah. He didn't come from a good background. His father taught him to worship idols. And didn't teach him to walk in the way of the Lord. But yet the Word of God had a tremendous impact in his life. God, help us to take seriously your Word. Help us not to be afraid of being an extreme Christian and following you with our life. Purging the sin and the wickedness and the filth. Help us to be extreme in that area and willing to follow you. God, I pray that you just touch each and every heart as only you can. And Father, if there's one here that does not know you as their own personal Savior, God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would move on their heart, show them their need for salvation, and help them to realize, Father, that they need to be saved. They need to be born again. God, I pray that you'd speak to hearts as only you can. And we'll be careful to thank you and give you the honor and glory for all that's said and done. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen.
Our altars are open. 316 in our songbook says, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus.
decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me, the world.